From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
This is the Wildcast. I'm Star Sports editor Ryan Finley, joined as always by the legend himself, Star Sports columnist Greg Hansen. Greg, the Arizona Wildcats are now 1-1, fell 19-16 to Houston at Arizona Stadium last Saturday. Of all the things I thought I'd see in that game, a defensive struggle that ended with a quarterback controversy for Arizona. Those are two things that were pretty far down on my list. What'd you make of that game?
I thought Houston didn't do much and yet won the game. I thought when they got home and watched the films, they probably all went, how did we win that game? That was a Pac-12 team we played and we did so little and we won.
Right. And yet Arizona had a chance, I think. I mean, I thought Arizona would win and win easily because they had that extra week to prepare. I think that there's something to be said about the improvements you make from week one to week two. And I maintain that they should have won easily. There were a handful of situations. If Brandon Dawkins doesn't overthrow his receiver in the end zone, if they don't fumble the ball in their own end zone leading to a safety, if this was a game Arizona, I think, had a chance to run away with, and seemed like every opportunity they had, they kind of let it slip away.
Did they have any playmakers on offense? Really?
I thought, yeah. I mean, I would say that they have the running backs, don't you? I mean, maybe they're young. I think that they flash like playmakers, maybe not consistent though.
I just don't think they have their players on offense are good enough. Their skill position players. Mm-hmm. I mean, their group of receivers, Sean Brown leading them, right, in my opinion, mm-hmm, is the least talented group of receivers Arizona's had in 20 years.
I wonder how it got to that point too. And it's funny, it's not as if Arizona had some high profile guys leave.
Yeah.
I mean, with the wide receivers, you know, they went from having 7 guys every year to this year having 1.5. I mean, Sean Brown, I think, could play on most of Rich Rod's previous teams, mm-hmm, here. Poindexter is a guy who looks the part, but I have no idea if he's any good. And then who else you got?
You don't. I mean, Poindexter was going to Marshall,
right,
until a letter of intent day and he came to Arizona. To me, that put in perspective what they were recruiting.
Right.
And now you really appreciate a guy like Samaje Grant.
Yeah.
Who for 4 years you just thought, oh, he's a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm. How about Nate Phillips?
Yeah.
I mean, what wouldn't they get or give to have Nate Phillips back? I mean, he was a guy who, you know, slot receiver, punt returner. When he was healthy, he was very good.
He was a really good part. Mm-hmm. They just don't have enough parts. That's right. Like an old chicken commercial. I don't think they have enough parts.
See, I think that they have, and I'm wrong. I'm going to preface all this with, this is just my opinion.
Okay.
You know more than I do.
No.
You know much
more than
I do. I think that they have some really intriguing pieces. They have a Tyrell Johnson can win a 40-yard dash with anybody in the Pac-12. J.J. Taylor is the Tariq Cohen of the Pac-12, if you saw Tariq Cohen play, mm-hmm, for the Bears on Saturday. Gary Brightwell and Nathan Tilford are guys who could really develop into really good players. Those guys kind of flash, but somebody's got to catch 8 passes a game. Not every play you run can be a gadget play. I think they're set in the gadget play department. They just don't have regular contributors, workman-like guys who will catch the ball. I mean, a David Richards or a David Douglas or a David. There are a lot of Davids. Any of those Davids from our Arizona football past, I think would be very good players on this team.
I mean, they're relying now on true freshman Bryce Wolma. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball to him a few times, mm-hmm, in that game. Mm-hmm. He wasn't highly thought of coming in, and probably still isn't highly thought of.
Right.
But who's going to make plays all year? Mm-hmm. J.J. Taylor can't carry the ball 15 times a game, can he?
No. Well, you don't want him running between the tackles,
no.
I don't think. I mean, regularly, 22 times a game.
He's a specialist.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a guy I think you get the ball to in space. I mean, why don't you go Darren Sproles with him? You know? But Darren Sproles isn't an every down back.
And he's a tough sucker.
Yeah, he is. He is. To me, it all comes back to the quarterback. And coming out of that game, Brandon Dawkins made a couple mistakes that an upperclassman starting quarterback should never make. I also think that he walked out of there hurt. Khalil Tate, I think, walked into the stadium hurt and was forced into some action when probably he should not have played, or they didn't want to have to use him. I will make this argument to you, Greg, and I want to see your face when I tell you. Why isn't Rhett Rodriguez taking snaps? If the name of the game is a guy who can make all the throws and a guy who knows the offense, and I'm not convinced that Dawkins or Tate knows the offense cold at this point, and Rich Rod's fighting for his football life, couldn't you see him doubling down, putting his son out there just to see if we can find a guy who can make the throws?
Yes. I mean, is Rhett Rod, is Anu Solomon any better than Rhett Rod?
No.
Are they the same guy?
Maybe. But they let Anu Solomon walk.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they encouraged him to walk.
And now you can see why.
Well, yeah.
He's the worst team in America.
Yeah. With good players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the really weird part about Baylor. It's not as if they're muddling through with North Texas's guys. These are players who committed to Baylor when Baylor was Baylor.
Yeah.
And now Anu Solomon, he's 0-2 with losses to Liberty and UTSA.
As the losses mount, and let's say they mount after they beat UTEP. Mm-hmm. Let's say they lose to Utah, Colorado, UCLA, and then it starts getting really bad. Mm-hmm. By then, don't you think Rhett Rod will be their quarterback?
Well, I think that if they lose to all three of those teams, it's because their other quarterbacks can't get it done. So, yeah. And again, this could bring, this is what we call in the sports editor business, a human resources issue. If Rich Rodriguez decides to turn to his own son to save his coaching career at Arizona, morally, is that okay?
Yes. You do anything you can. But it's still a long way before you give up on Dawkins and Tate, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and that was the thing, especially with Tate. I think we had talked so little about Tate because we assumed this was Dawkins' job. That when Tate actually came out there and did some good things, you went, oh, okay, so he has developed and grown. I wonder, though, about the durability of both guys at this point.
They're both run-first guys, and they're going to take... I mean, opposing defenses, Houston couldn't wait to hit Brandon Dawkins.
Right.
Boy, they took every shot they could at him.
Yeah.
Before he missed the open touchdown pass to Ellison in the corner, he got cracked.
I know.
I don't know if you saw the replay. And
I read an entire column about it in Tuesday's Arizona Daily Star. It was a huge point. Was nobody saw. I didn't see. You didn't see. I mean,
no.
That he got destroyed.
No.
And as soon as he overthrew that guy, went to the sideline where he dropped to a knee and was tended to by
Randy Cohen. Yeah.
Randy Cohen and them. Real quick, and we're going to bring in Justin Spears here. Justin is our new digital producer here with the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com. If you follow Arizona Wildcat Sports, you know Justin. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Justin Spears, a big picture question for you.
Okay.
This offense being what it is, Rich Rod in Arizona, I don't think has ever made it through a full season with the same starting quarterback in all 12 games, right?
Denker?
Did he play in all 12 games that year?
It was close, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, okay. If it's B.J. Denker, this proves my point even more. If this offense lends itself to quarterback injuries, can you really try to sell your season on the fact that you have one good quarterback? Don't you need like three?
Well, if you have three decent quarterbacks, you got three, was it three pizzas or whatever? What's the pizza analogy that Rich Rod made?
But Rich Rod's counterpoint is to the regular point, which is having two quarterbacks is like having two wives. They probably don't know about each other, right? You're lying to one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe more is better when it comes to quarterbacks, but if let's say Dawkins and Tate are truly even right now, they're splitting snaps in practice. One guy is not getting all of the attention. One guy is not growing as much as he could if he was the guy. Mm-hmm. But you flip that. If Brandon Dawkins is taking every snap in practice and Brandon Dawkins gets hurt, all of a sudden you're throwing Khalil Tate out there.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I think what Rich Rod needs to do at some point this year is that he needs to, if it's completely split even, mm-hmm. and these guys are pretty much splitting reps in practice, and you're still getting the same results every single week, you might as well just give Tate a shot at starting one game. I mean, he gave him a shot last year against USC, and that didn't really work. But now you start to see this year, it kind of seems like Khalil Tate's more of the insurance for when Brandon Dawkins messes up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of saw that against Houston, mm-hmm. where as soon as Brandon Dawkins – I mean, sure, Brandon might have been hurt, mm-hmm. But Khalil Tate went in there. He kind of got in a role. He trucked some guy going down the sideline. I mean, that's not the smartest move by a quarterback, but it still kind of got the team a little fired up and gave him a little spark. But then, you know, once Khalil Tate started making a couple mistakes, Rich Rod started getting on him, and you could just see Khalil Tate's head just drop, and he was automatically checked out of the game. So I think Rich Rod needs to just kind of put more confidence in Khalil Tate moving forward. Why not give him a start? Say if all things go worse, if let's just say it hits the fan and they lose to UTEP or they lose to Colorado badly at home,
right?
Khalil Tate's got to be the man moving forward.
So what you're saying is, in the case of a tie, the tie goes to the younger guy.
And that's the thing. Usually it's not like that.
Right.
Ties always go to upperclassmen. But when you're an upperclassman like Brandon Dawkins, where you've been 4 years into the system, I mean, technically 3 years of starting if you consider the ASU game that 1 year, he's making mistakes that he should have been making years ago.
Right.
And I just don't see any improvement. And Brandon Dawkins is a great guy. Right. I mean, he's confident. He likes to have fun out there.
I've never seen a college quarterback who truly enjoys being the starting quarterback more than Brandon Dawkins does.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and that's I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
It seems to be engaging. He seems to have fun. He's, I think, a good representative of the university.
Absolutely.
But he also has yet to put together a complete game. And he's been their starting quarterback for a year. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at that point, you might as well just got to roll the dice. And a lot of you guys didn't even mention him, Donovan Tate,
yeah.
A 26-year-old freshman. He's experienced. He's got a cannon on him, apparently. So, why not?
Yeah. Greg Hansen, we have two very competing notions here. Okay. We have a team that is built for 2019. Younger guys, fresh, true freshmen playing, redshirt freshmen playing. I mean, all of their impact players. Maybe you take Demetrius Flanagan Foles away and Brandon Dawkins away, and all of their best players are underclassmen. Okay? So you're building for 2019 on this hand. On the other hand, you got a coach who might lose his job if they don't win 5 or 6 games. How do you balance those two things? Or do you?
I don't think you balance them because you can't build for 2019. I mean, anyone who says this is team's built for 2019. Everybody's going to be fired before then.
Right, you're conceding 2017 if you're saying.
And not half the guys, but a lot of them will scatter. Mm-hmm. This is now. College football is now. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in your sixth season. Mm-hmm. 2019, who cares?
Right.
Not one person in the stands is going, boy, wait till 2019.
Right. Well, it's funny. I think that, to use a baseball analogy, if you're a bad team with a high-priced closer, you probably don't need that closer, right? Because you're not closing games. Brandon Dawkins may be that closer right now, which is, do you need a veteran guy simply because he's a veteran guy on this team? And I say no. If you're willing to start a true sophomore running back in J.J. Taylor, or a true freshman running back in Nathan Tilford, maybe there's no shame in trotting out an 18-year-old quarterback in Khalil Tate and seeing what you have.
Yeah. Arizona's kind of in a tough spot right now. But like I said, If it completely hits the fan and it turns out to be pretty much like last season, Dawkins, that whole era was over. And I remember last year I was talking about how Rich Rodriguez and the Anu Solomon honeymoon needs to end because it seemed like they could never cut that relationship.
Right.
And here we are in 2017 where it seems like Rich Rodriguez can't cut that relationship with Brandon Dawkins.
But in fairness, guys, we're talking about one pretty bad game. But, you know, he wasn't asked to do much against NAU, and you could say that he ran vanilla stuff against NAU. To play the total opposite side of the coin here, is he starting because he's their best choice, and are we freaking out because he had one bad game?
And I think what it also comes down to is practice. Mm-hmm. If this is from what I've heard, is when it comes down to individual drills, Khalil Tate is by far the best quarterback there. But when it comes to team offense and they're moving the ball and actually doing game-like situations, Brandon Dawkins is the best quarterback. But he can't translate into practice or into actual gameplay, though.
Yeah. Gerard Randall was great in practice. Matt Scott was great in practice for 3 years. Do you remember the story, Greg? I'm sure you do. You remember why Nick Foles didn't play when Nick Foles transferred here from Michigan State?
I remember Sonny Dykes saying if you watch practice, you would know why Nick Foles doesn't play.
That Nick Foles sucked in practice, especially when he first got here. And I think that reputation followed him a little bit to the NFL. I seem to remember when he was with the Eagles, them saying he was just better when the lights were on. Is that maybe what we have with Dawkins? Is that he, or is that what you're looking for with Tate? I mean, do you want one of them to show up and have kind of their Heisman moment? Not a real Heisman, but have their Heisman moment, quote unquote, and then take the job and run with it?
That's what I was kind of hoping with Khalil Tate, because that's pretty much what happened with Matt Scott and Nick Foles.
Right.
They went to, over to Iowa.
Right.
They got kicked around by Iowa, and then next thing you know, Nick Foles starts against Oregon State on the road. Nick Foles is the starting man after that. I was hoping to see that with Khalil Tate last year at USC, but it didn't happen.
I'm going to stop you. How old were you when that happened?
That had to been, that's 2009, correct? Yeah. So I was a freshman in high school.
This guy is dropping game-by-game references from when he was a freshman in high school. I knew we made a good choice. This is good. This is good.
Thank you.
Greg, we'll wrap up here real quick. What is the best thing that could come out of UTEP, and what is the worst thing that could come out of UTEP?
The worst thing? UTEP is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you even play a close game with them, you further erode the community's confidence.
Okay.
You have to beat them 45-17.
Okay.
And the best thing to come out of it would be that whoever plays quarterback is effective, because, and they get some confidence in him, because the next time they play against the toughest physical defense in the league, against Utah.
But a team that they traditionally match up well against. Now, Kadeem Carey's not walking through that door.
Yeah.
I understand. But I agree. I mean, I think that this needs to be kind of your running start into the Pac-12 season, and anything less than total dominance with a revelation at quarterback and maybe at wide receiver, I think you're heading into next week's game going, take it easy on us.
What if Arizona lost this game? What do you think would happen in the next day?
I think that we're still, I don't think something's going to happen on the tarmac, so to speak.
Yeah.
I still maintain, and I don't think it's going to happen. You may disagree. I still maintain that it would take multiple ugly, embarrassing Pac-12 losses. I know that the buyout can be taken care of. I understand. $8 million is a lot of money to spend, and there's nobody on staff who can step in and be a patchwork guy, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you going to get? The larger point is, if we're just going to throw this out in the open, if they don't think Rich Rodriguez, if Bobby Robbins and Dave Hickey don't think Rich Rodriguez is the guy to lead Arizona going forward, who is?
No, I don't have an answer for that.
I don't know that either. I don't know either.
There's a couple guys in the market. One being Les Miles.
Oh, okay. Please, no, 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 no.
Wouldn't this be?
But could they afford Les Miles? That's the thing. Right. I don't think they can. So.
Right. I still think that whenever you have to fire a coach, the guy who you bring in has to be 180 degrees different.
Yeah.
This is the tuna on toast argument.
Mm-hmm.
Les Miles is Rich Rod.
Yeah.
He's Rich Rod. So who do you go get? Do you go?
Chris Creighton, Eastern Michigan.
I have no idea who that person is, Greg.
Eastern Michigan has been the worst team in the MAC for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they hire him. He goes 1-11, 2-10. And last year he wins 7 games and goes to a bowl game. And last week they beat Rutgers. I know Rutgers, but in the Eastern Michigan world, that's a big game.
That's a huge game.
He's the guy. He's the emerging guy that a team like Arizona would hire.
Can I pull the pin on this grenade real quick?
Yeah.
What else does Rocky Long have to do?
As Dick told me.
Yeah, exactly. He's won 21 games, I think, in the last 2 seasons. They just beat ASU by 10 and, frankly, should have beaten ASU by 25. They pound the football. They play defense. They are poor man Stanford. Ironically, they're playing Stanford this weekend.
Mm.
I know it's a tough sell to bring in a 65-year-old guy, and who knows if he would even want it. But I think he's a guy who could jump up with another good year to the kind of school that's willing to invest in him.
What about your guy, Chuck Cecil? They recently hired him. He's got football background, being a player, being a coach. He coached the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a guy that could step in, right?
That would be a headline so big you couldn't put it on the top of the newspaper.
Right.
But he's got no experience.
Right.
That would be a leap of such faith.
Yes.
That it's almost never made.
It's almost never made. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald is the one that jumps out to me. And he ascended to that job in the most tragic of ways. His boss died. If you remember, Pat Fitzgerald was like 28, 29, something like that, was not that far removed from playing there, was a highly regarded guy as a player, and kind of felt his way through that job. I still think that's way premature.
Yeah,
I think
this is fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about, and this is a conversation for, I think, maybe week six.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think that there's still lots to learn with this team, and that starts Saturday at UTEP. Friday at UTEP. I apologize. One last thing, Greg, before we go. Friday night, college football, your thoughts?
I think there's only three schools in Tucson that draw big crowds for high school football: Ironwood Ridge, mm-hmm. South Point, and Cienega. Mm-hmm. The rest draw a little pocket of fans, and mm-hmm. That's not going to change.
I remember we learned, I think, the magic of Friday night football when we used to travel together when I was covering the team, and we'd be on the road, and we'd be sitting at the bar or at a restaurant somewhere on a Friday night at 6. And next thing you know, we're watching 3.5 quarters of South Florida football for no other reason than because they're on.
Yeah.
Right? I could see Arizona, UTEP, getting a bunch of eyeballs on Friday night if for no other reason than because it's on.
Yeah. I wonder why the programmers at ESPN pick that, how they value that 11 p.m. Eastern window on Friday night.
I know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That'll do it for this episode of The Wildcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley. If you haven't already, by the way, download us, subscribe to us, both on iTunes and in Google Play. Download our free app, which is The Wildcaster. You can get that anywhere that you get your regular apps. Greg Hansen, Justin Spears, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.